Chris. Chris is on sabbatical, which means that he gets to come to his second home. Welcome to you and your family. Do you have a word for us? I figured you did. Kevin, you want to record this?
Well, welcome to me and my family. Thank you for welcoming us back home. This is really my second home, spiritually, in the city. I was thinking that if I ever left Abundant Life, this is the place I would come and hang out. It's one of those places that the Lord, really, as soon as I walk into the room, the Lord begins to download stuff. There's a place in Kansas City that the Lord does that for me, in Grandview. And then there's this place. And not just the house of prayer, but specifically Evangel. There's something about what you were stewarding here that opens the door for the Spirit to move. So I encourage you, and I'm thanking you. You are welcoming to what the Holy Spirit wants to do. I instantly began to see in the room, as you were worshiping, there's great faith. There's like incredible faith for whatever the Lord has. I think that ties into the willingness to engage in the Spirit in whatever way, and to be willing to have strange guys come up or women come up and speak into you, and you receive that. That's a credit to who you are. So I encourage you to keep building up your faith in the Lord and working on that. So I did ask the Lord what he wanted to say to Evangel, and I think there's a corporate word for you from him, that there's an open door for you. Felt really strongly that there's something either that's already opened in Evangel's life, the life of the body. It's either already opened or is going to be opened. And it's incumbent upon you, it's imperative for you to begin to open your eyes. Begin not just open your eyes, but to open your ears. I did feel like the door that was going to open, I don't get a sense of if it's open or going to be open, but if it's open, it's opened a crack. It's just opened a little bit, and you have to look really closely to see, oh, wait, there's a door open. There's no light coming through. You just have to look and see. Or the reason I talk about your ears is sometimes you can hear a door open. So I feel like whatever door it is, it's not oiled very well. So it's noisy, maybe, or a little bit creaky. So begin to pay attention to that, because I think it has to do with ministry, either corporately, probably corporately. There's some, I don't know if there's something new. We haven't talked for a while about our churches in general, where you're going and what we're doing. So I don't know if there's something new on the horizon from Jeff's perspective, but I think there's something new in the Lord's perspective. It feels to be ministry oriented. 2 Corinthians 2. Paul talks about an open door where he goes to Troas to do ministry. He leaves because his buddy Titus isn't there. So don't leave, all right, because someone's not there. Just keep pressing in. That passage begins to talk about the fragrance of the Lord, the aroma of the Lord that you will be. So I feel like there's an open door corporately, but I also feel that's a personal door. The Lord is, it's Revelation 3, behold, I'm standing at the door knocking. And sometimes we don't hear him knocking. I'm not sure he's pounding. I think it's gentle, because it requires our attentiveness. It requires our attention. And sometimes we're in the house and we've got the TV blaring and things going on around us, and we don't hear. If you don't have dogs, especially, if you have dogs, you hear everything. They hear someone knocking three doors down, and they think it's your house. So that was free. I don't know where that came from. So keep your eyes and ears open. That's the word of the Lord for you, because he wants to do something. He wants to open something for you. Ministry for the body, and then personally, it's intimacy. It's depth. It's breakthrough. It's something new for you. There's something new for you personally and corporately. There you go.
Yes. You're a good friend. I got a card from Kathy saying thank you to those of you who helped her cut wood. So on behalf of Kathy, thank you so much for everything you did for her. That was really kind of you. I want to talk about resting in God today. Not because I'm just coming back from vacation, which seems to make a whole lot of sense. Because when I came back from vacation, I did anything but rest. It was restful being at Sun River, but when I got home, I had 3+ days of really hard work on my house to get it finished. And so I came home and worked really hard. And it's done. And by the way, for those of you who are interested, the dishwasher didn't work. That was a bummer. I mean, especially since Tuesday night after we got home, my first thing I didn't want to do is tear out the old one and see if it worked, and it didn't work. So Jody was a little worried about my mental health at that point. Yeah.
I didn't want to die of a heart attack.
I know. I didn't want to die of a heart attack either. So resting is probably, it makes a lot of sense, but I just felt like we spent the last couple weeks when I taught the last couple weeks on, or 3 weeks on focusing this summer and staying focused this summer. I felt like rest was part of that. Focus, staying focused isn't always a lot of work. Sometimes there's peace in it and rest in it. And so I wanted to talk a little bit about that today. But I mean, our lives are crazy busy. And Jody was telling me about a perception she had about, we were talking about communication and cell phones, you know, the whole digital media thing and where we're at personally and where we're at as a congregation, where we're maybe at as a culture. And she was sharing, why don't you come up with me? You can just share it with me. You give your insights. Anyway, she was talking about the waiting rooms at the hospital and how if you look at the three waiting rooms, the internal medicine waiting room, which is mostly older people, the family practice waiting room, which is mostly younger people with families and things like that, and then the pediatric waiting room, if you look at those waiting rooms and what you see in each of those individual waiting rooms are very different. And what did you say about when you saw the internal medicine one?
Well, I walk down. So internal medicine is all, it's usually elderly, and so they're all sitting there, and they'll have a caregiver with them, and they will be on their cell phone. And then they will have other elderly people, and they will talk to each other and look and, you know, smile at you and make eye contact. And, you know, there's a communication. There's a presence. They're in present, I guess is what I want to say. And then I walk past the Family Med OB, and so that's usually pregnant and some families, but a lot of them just little children. And it's this. I stood there for literally, I thought it was 5 minutes. Not one time did any of them lift their head. It's just weird. It's so weird. So then I go down to the pediatrics, and all the kids are in this play area, and the parents, and they're going, Mom, just a minute. Okay, yeah, okay, go over there. And smile comes on their face. Oh, you know, just like, oh. And it's just so weird.
Yeah. And you know what's interesting is the older population, the more mature population. I don't want to offend anybody because I don't feel like I am because I'm there already. But they're like having conversations with each other. They don't have phones. They're actually talking to one another. Yeah, or yeah, they just use it for calling. But they're like not into this at all. They're having conversations. Have you ever walked into a waiting room and had an older person start talking to you, and it's like, I don't really have time for this right now. Can't you see that I'm busy? You know, but they want to talk because conversation is a big deal to them. Well, then you get to the people who are in their, you know, 30s and 40s, and they are literally attached to Facebook and wanting to find out what's going on and really connected in an unusually deep way with what's going on with social media, digital media. And then like what Jody was saying with the younger population, I mean, what are our kids growing up? I mean, like, what's happening to them right now? How's it impacting?
The kids are on the phone, too.
So then you have the younger kids, and they all have these little iPads. I love my iPad. I don't have anything against it. It's just so weird to see it. And it's like, so they're doing their own little game thing, too, because it keeps them quiet, which totally makes sense. And I don't have anything against it, but there's also that.
So you kind of wonder what's going to happen in this next generation. I mean, I'm just as bad as everybody else. I get into a place where I'm waiting for something to happen. The first thing I do is flip out my phone, and in my mind I'm thinking, I get to relax now. Literally, it's a form of rest for me. It's a place where I can go to kind of close out the world around me. And for any number of reasons, there's a lot of things that you can do on your phone. I'm not saying that they're all bad. I mean, look at me. I've got a computer. I've got an iPad. I've got a phone. Apple is making a mint off me. I've got AirPods so that I can close everybody out and only listen to, and I've got a watch. And so, does somebody in here have a phone right now that's available to them? Patrick, give me a call. My wrist is vibrating. My phone's ringing because Chris Davis called me. You didn't even beat him. He beat you to it. There's a little notification on my computer that says that there's a phone call. I'm in the middle of a PowerPoint presentation, and it says you've got a phone call. That's one call. That's what? And I can answer it with my ear pods. Yeah. And also find out from Siri where the best restaurant is in town right now. I mean, I am not like preaching down to anyone. This is my life. And my whole assignment on earth is to walk with you guys. And everybody who wants to have, there's nobody that doesn't have my phone number. I remember when we first had cell phones, it was like, we're not giving our number out to anybody because that's dangerous. Now everybody has my cell phone is on our website. Anybody can call me anytime. Can you imagine the chaos that would be in my life if people called me all the time? And you know what? There's an amazing grace upon my life because that does not happen. Part of it is because I feel like I've trained you and released you to be leaders, to be in charge of your life, to not depend on me to make decisions for you. In fact, most of the time if somebody comes to me and says, tell me what to do, I will tell you to listen to what God's saying to you. Because I don't want phone calls all day long asking me what you should do with your life. You have a God who loves you, and you should have conversations with him about those kind of things. That should be your conversation with him, not my conversation on your behalf. And so I really believe that strongly. But it's crazy how much, how wrapped up we are in this. And it really does concern me a bit about what's going to happen next. This old guy is the guy who made the first cell phone call. He worked for Motorola. He was an executive. And the first cell phone call was made in 1973. He worked for Motorola, and he called his competitor. The first phone call was to his competitor that worked at Bell Labs. And it was probably like, hey, I got it first. I was the first one. This cell phone, did anybody have a cell phone like this? Nope. Is anybody old? You had one, Patrick? Because he's in sales, and so 2.4 pounds, had a talk time of 30 minutes, and took 10 hours to recharge. Isn't that crazy? I mean, how do you find rest in this kind of atmosphere, with this kind of connectedness to each other? How do you find rest? Where do we find rest? Well, Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Soak it in a bit. It says, come to me, all who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, Let me teach you because I'm humble and gentle at heart. You know this scripture. You've heard it lots of times, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light. Actually, there's a couple different words for burden, but the two of them that are most specific are, I'll show you, there's a real, an important difference in them. The first one is a word called baros, which talks about a weighty expectation, a heavy weight, something that actually weighs on you, has a heavy, and this is the word that's used in Galatians chapter 6. Dear brothers and sisters, if another believer is overcome by some sin, you or who are godly should gently and humbly help that person back to the right path. And be careful not to fall into the same temptation yourself. Share each other's burdens. Share each other's heaviness. Share each other's weight. I mean, one of the things that says to me is that we will be burdened. We have weights to carry. I think one of the blessings of the modern day congregation is that we can walk with each other. I mean, what happened today with Melanie was huge. I'm not even trying to predict what happened as a result of the prayer, but that prayer was huge in doing exactly what the scripture said. And this way, obey the law of Christ. If you think you're too important to help someone, you're only fooling yourself. You are not that important. I love that. We all have needs. We all need someone to walk with us and care for us. Well, that's that word baros. That's the heaviness. And it talks about here in the law of Christ. The law of Christ is really simple. In Galatians chapter 5, it says, the whole law can be summed up in this one commandment. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then it says in John 13, now I'm giving you a new commandment. This is Jesus. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. So the law of Christ is all wrapped up in loving each other. Our love for each other being expressed. So that's baros. That's the Greek word baros. There's another word called phoshon. Phoshon, phoshon, which means a heavy load. And that's the word that Jesus uses in this scripture that we're looking at, which means a heavy load, but it's not a weighty load, which is really a little difficult to understand. But it says, this is where this word is used. Luke chapter 11. Yes, Jesus said, what sorrow awaits you experts in religious law. You crush people with unbearable religious demands and never lift a finger to ease the burden. This is not a weight. This is the kind of thing that causes us to feel pressed down upon. It feels, it's an emotional expectation. And then here's another use of it. Jesus says, come to me, all you weary, carry heavy burdens. This is the burden that we carry. It's the burden usually that other people put on us. So the difference between fortune and baros is that fortune is simply something to be borne without a reference to its weight. Baros suggests a heavy weight. So that's why those two different words are used. That's why you don't use the same word. Jesus used the correct word. His weight. His burden is not a heavy burden, it's a light burden, but it's a burden. It's a real burden. I mean, if we're going to carry Jesus' burden, if he's going to give us rest and we're going to carry his burden, it's going to be a burden. I feel like I carry a burden. Many of you, I know Chris feels like he carries a burden for the body of Christ. I can't not do this. I can't stop. I'm on vacation and I'm thinking about you guys. Trying to separate myself a little bit so I can relax and get restored. But I think about you guys all the time. It's not a burden I'm complaining about. I think it's a delight. I think it's a joy to be, but it is a burden. It is a weight. I mean, Dwayne carries the same burden in worship. He really cares what happens during that time when he's up leading worship. He cares whether or not we connect with God. Many of you teach feel the same way. You want to get the message across. Dan, when he had that prophetic word today, there's a burden that was put on him. It was like he came up to me and said, the Lord told me if we pray, we have the authority to cause rain to come upon that fire in Reading. That's a burden. He's not going to feel good if he doesn't tell somebody about it. You know, it's like, or, you know, some of you look at someone else. Especially for me, it's single moms. I look at them and it feels like they're burdened. And I just want to acknowledge that. It's a heavy load that you carry, but he's gonna get you through this. You can trust him. So we're called to that place of walking with each other and carrying each other's burdens. Christ's burden is actually an assignment from the Father. It's not just something he took on his own. The Father placed that burden on him. And his main assignment, the main assignment of Jesus is what? What's the main assignment of Jesus? To reveal the Father. That's what, he came to reveal the Father, and especially he came to reveal the Father and the Father's heart to a world that needed to be redeemed. He came to redeem us. He came to purchase us our lives back. It says that in John 1. For the law was given through Moses, but God's unfailing love and faithfulness came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the unique one who is God himself is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us. So he's revealed the Father's heart, and you can reveal the Father's heart as well. You have that assignment that if you carry that burden, the Christ's burden, you have that same desire to reveal the Father's heart. And you know, when you see people suffer, don't you want to just walk up to them and tell them about how God feels about them? It's not about preaching to them or getting them saved like there's a notch on your belt that you got another one saved. It's that the Father's heart for those people is so real and so tangible, you can't not tell them. You can't not say something to them. Here's another scripture that talks about it. So the Word became human and made its home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. That's the Father's heart, unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. And then one more. John 14. Jesus told him, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. We sang this today. I can't tell you the number of times when we do in worship what I'm about to talk about in the teaching time. And we did it again today. I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one can come to the Father except through me. Now look at the connection between Jesus and the Father and look what he's revealing in the scripture that John is revealing. If you had really known me, you would have known who my Father is. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. What an amazing revelation. Anyone who has seen Jesus has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak to you are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does his work through me. So what you see Jesus do is the heart of the Father being expressed to the world. And that's the same assignment that we share. When Jesus said, my burden is light and easy, but I'm going to give you my burden. I'm going to let you carry my burden too. This is a burden all believers carry, all believers have as part of their life. And then one more. Jesus responded, salvation has come to this home today. So salvation is the key here. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save those who are lost. Salvation was bringing salvation to the world. Redemption to the world is why Jesus came. He didn't come just to reveal the Father and then, what do you think, guys? Show us the Father and then say, well, there you go. But he showed us the Father, the Father's heart, and then he took it a step further and said, and the Father loves you so much, and his faithfulness is toward you so much that I've come here to set you free. Because of his love, that's my assignment. I came here to set you free, set the world free. So rest is all wrapped up in this. I mean, if we're going to receive the burden of the Lord, it's not because it's a heaviness that we want to get out from underneath. We don't want to escape this heaviness, but it's a heaviness that we live in and breathe in and we function in and we are very successful in. We've been called to live under this burden, but also to be very successful in living out this assignment in reality. So disconnecting from the culture and connecting with God are really important. I was just looking at the whole idea of Sabbath rest. I mean, I don't really have a specific set day off, which is a huge mistake. I really should have a day that's set where I don't let anything or anyone interrupt it, because I don't really have a Sabbath rest. I'm really not very diligent that way. I have lots of rest built into my life because that's the way I've designed my life, but it still isn't a Sabbath rest. And every time I talk about this, I feel like I'm not living this out very well. I'm not a very good model of what it's like to have a Sabbath rest in my life. I've tried at times, but raising 5 kids is really difficult to have a consistent Sabbath day of rest. That said, if you're a mom, I don't know how you do this. I mean, I hardly ever hear women talk about this. It's always men. I don't know how you do this as a mom. I don't know how you take a day and rest yourself. Maybe some of you have been successful at this, but I haven't seen it happen very much while you're raising kids that women find a place of Sabbath rest, especially since women are working. And so you're not just taking care of things at home, but you're taking care of things at work and carrying the weight of that responsibility. So, you know, people talk about Sabbath rest. I mean, I can tell you that Sabbath rest is these three things: resting your body, recharging your emotions, and refocusing your spirit. Resting your body. I was listening to Rick Warren. He said, if you don't take time off, your body will make time off. If you don't take time off, your body will make time off. I mean, if you don't rest your body, you will get sick. If you don't rest your body, you will get infections. There's all kinds of things that come from not finding rest for our bodies. Recharging our emotions, this mostly happens through solitude, being quiet, being still. Or maybe recreation, but non-competitive recreation, not one where you're trying to outdo the person next to you and where you're competing. And relationships are a big part of restoration emotionally, just sitting and talking to people. Some of you find people very tiring to talk to, right? How many of you feel like it's exhausting to be around people? Don't raise your hand. Jody and I are very different. I get really excited and revved up by relationship. She gets exhausted by relationship. You know, because she carries things so much, because she's wired to carry burdens. She does it. If you were around her at work, you would be amazed at how she survives at that place, because she's constantly picking up people's burdens and carrying them for a while. She'll put them down because she has to go to the next person and they have a burden. And the next person, if you're a nurse, you know what this is like. And you don't have a choice. You can't say, I'm not going to care about this person, or you won't have a job very long, because it's a caring profession. And so is pastoring. But we have very different feelings about how relationships are refreshing or not, whether they're refreshing or not. I really get refreshed being around people. It's hard for me to be alone, but solitude is good for me. But you need to recharge your emotions, and you need to refocus your spirit. I feel like our spirit got taken care of today in worship. A lot of our needs of our spirit got taken care of. So, which leads me to, Jesus said, in Psalm 23, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all that I need. He's my shepherd, and I have all that I need. So all rest is wrapped up in him. He lets me rest in green meadows. He leads me beside peaceful streams. It's all wrapped up in him. So let's look at the scripture again. Jesus said, come to me, all you are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I'll give you rest. What's the first thing he says? Come to me. What's the first thing we pray? Jesus, come to me. Jesus, come. I invite your presence into my life. I want you to come and dwell with me where I'm at. And Jesus is saying, no, no, no. I'm saying to you, come to me. He's saying, come to me. That's what Dwayne was pressing us into, was coming to him. And usually if you're going to come to Jesus, you have to let go of what's in your hands. You can't come with a load of stuff. You can't come with all your stuff, you know, like you're coming to Santa Claus asking him for gifts, you know. You have to lay that stuff down. So in order for us to come to Jesus, we have to stop coming to something else. We have to stop coming to our entertainment. We have to stop coming to social media. We have to turn off our phone. If you're going to come to Jesus, I don't think he wants you coming with your phone on. Now, again, I'm as guilty as anybody else, but I don't think he smiles when we come with our phone, looking at our Facebook page, or wondering who's messaging us, or, you know, with the even the ringer turned off, but my phone, my wrist vibrating. You know, it's like everything that's wrapped up in that makes it hard for us to come to him. And yet he says, the way that you get rid of your burden and find rest is come to me. It's a difficult thing to do, you guys, but it has to happen for a people. Like, I really appreciate Chris's word about the open door, which is remarkable, because you don't know this because we haven't talked, but maybe we have. Did I tell you about the School of Encouragement? Oh, that was what happened. What I did was, I a couple weeks ago, I said, I painted this picture of a school whose whole focus was encouragement, where you come to this school and for 2 years you learn to do encouragement at a really high level. And at the end I said, the school doesn't exist, but it could. There's an open door here, but you have to push it open. And so it's interesting that you had that word, not knowing the word that I had for our body last time I taught, that said that there is an open door. And if we open that door, we could go through and some pretty amazing things could happen. If there was a 2-year school of encouragement in this region, and I think it's a real possibility, it could change the culture in the city. I mean, just think if you loosed students whose whole goal was to test drive what they'd learned in encouragement on the people that live in this city. I mean, they wouldn't just do it inside the classroom. The first thing they do is, let's go do this. Let's go try this. Let's go encourage this city and see what happens. See if it doesn't change the whole complexion of things that are going on in the city. So, I do believe that there's a door open. But here in this scripture, Jesus is saying, I've opened a door for you. You can come through it if you want, and you can find rest. And I'll take the burden off of you. The burden that the world has put on you, the burden that you put on yourself, the burden that your parents have put on you, the expectation your employer has put on you, I'll take that burden off of you. But you have to come to me. It doesn't say, invite me to come into your life and everything's going to be cool. You're going to find rest. He says, if you want rest, you need to come to me. And in order to be able to come to him, we have to say no to some other things. I think one of the things we miss is we want everything. We want to say yes to everything. We want to come to Jesus with our golf clubs. We want to come to Jesus with our credit card. We want to come to Jesus with all of our hobbies. We want to come to Jesus with a mirror, not focused on him, but focused on us. And he's saying, just come to me. I can give you rest, but you have to come to me. The other thing that's interesting in this is that he says, all of you who are weary. My assumption from that is that weariness is not a bad thing. We think it isn't because we have such a high value for comfort. We think that we're never supposed to be weary, always supposed to be refreshed, always supposed to look great. I'm telling you, if you're a mom with kids, you don't always look great. And one of the best things that you can do as a man, as a husband for your wife, is to tell her she looks like the woman that you wanted to marry, even when she doesn't feel like it and doesn't feel like she looks like it. Because you do see her that way, but you need to hear that when you're weary. How many of you love it when somebody walks up to you and says, you really look tired? Oh, well, thank you very much. That's helpful. But we look tired sometimes. If you could have seen me Friday at 6:00, I was exhausted. Exhausted. I didn't have any strength. I didn't have any patience. I didn't have Jody work that day. I didn't have any food for her on the table when she came home from work. I didn't have anything. I didn't have anything except I had a debit card and I said, what do you want to eat? Let's go get something. You know, that's all I had. But I was tired. But I'd worked for 3 days on the house. I had every reason to be tired. He said, if you're weary, come to me. So I think it's okay to be weary. I don't think there's anything wrong with being worn out. If you're a guy who works for a living, who has a job, you should be tired when you come home. If you're a mom who's raising kids, let alone a mom who's raising kids and has a job, you should be tired at the end of the day. It should be tiring. And you don't have to apologize for that or make excuses for that. It's tiring. Being weary is not a bad thing. Being weary and not knowing where to go to find recovery and rest is not a good thing, though. And it says right here, come to me if you're weary. All you are weary and you need your burdens lifted. You need the weight that you're carrying lifted, and I'll give you rest. One more thing. I ran across a scripture, which is a remarkable scripture in Isaiah. And there was a battle going on, and the Lord was doing a lot of things. But in the midst of this whole battle going on, Isaiah, through the Lord, was reminding people of what God had done in their lives. And it says this, where is the one who led them through the bottom of the sea? They were like fine stallions racing through the desert, never stumbling. As with cattle going down into a peaceful valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. You led your people, Lord, and gained a magnificent reputation. Like as with cattle going down into a peaceful valley, the Spirit of the Lord gave them rest. This is in the Old Testament, not the New Testament. The whole idea here is this. Rest, true rest, genuine rest, deep rest comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from your action. It comes from the Holy Spirit's influence on your life. When a sense of rest is gone, we need to seek the Spirit of God and look carefully at our lives to see if we've abandoned the Spirit's influence. If you have disconnected from the Holy Spirit in your life, if you think that you can do this on your own, you risk not being able to rest. We need to realize that rest comes from the Holy Spirit and our dependence on the Holy Spirit. We need to realize again, freshly, that the Holy Spirit is not just the Holy Ghost that's invisible and is in our lives somewhere and does stuff, but I really don't know what. The Holy Spirit does really tangible things like give us rest. The Spirit brings rest to our souls, so it only makes sense that we seek to be attentive and responsive to the Spirit in our lives. So listening for the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding is part of rest. What if I told you that the way you're going to get rest is the Holy Spirit was going to lead you into rest? What would you do? You'd listen for his voice. You'd try to get as good a sense of direction as you could. You wouldn't just go find your rest yourself. You'd listen for the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit's influence on our life is a big part of rest, a big part of rest. And then there's practical rest, and I love this. We'll end here. But you, dear friends, must build each other up in your most holy faith. Pray in the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer isn't just asking God to do stuff for us. Prayer is conversation with God, a relationship with God that's built through words. And await the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will bring you eternal life. In this way, you'll keep yourself safe in God's love. Jody was, again, talking to me about an experience she's had recently where the Lord has led her to pray in the Spirit more. And you know what that does? You bypass your brain. It's a connection with the Spirit that lets the Holy Spirit come out of you. You know, and it says in Romans, it says that you're going to have things that come up out of you that you don't know, even know anything about, that you aren't aware of. And by the way, anybody who wants to have a spiritual language, you can have one. Speaking in tongues and have a spiritual prayer language are different things. Same Spirit, but different action, different activity going on. When you have, when you're praying in tongues, when you're speaking in tongues, it's usually to edify the body of Christ around us. But when you have a prayer language where you're speaking in tongues and it's just you between you and the Lord, it's an amazingly intimate engagement with God. And it's not about asking him to do things anymore. It's like turning yourself over to the Holy Spirit and let the Holy Spirit speak through you. But what happens is you find, Jody said she found herself getting more refreshed when she spoke in the Spirit. Doesn't that sound a lot like what we read in Isaiah? the Holy Spirit bringing rest. When we pray in the Spirit or speak in the Spirit, have conversations with God in the Spirit, it tends to cause us to be refreshed. For one, I mean, this doesn't happen if your cell phone's going and you're on Facebook and praying in the Spirit. You have to push all that stuff aside, pray in the Spirit, and just encounter God, interact with Him, move back and forth with Him, refresh yourself with Him. So I want to pray for a couple things. I want to pray, first of all, that God would give you the grace to come to Him and not wait for Him to come to you. I mean, remember, Dwayne alluded to it a couple weeks ago when we talked about taking a step forward. Oh, just a step. It's kind of the same thing again today, just taking a step forward, moving towards Him. I want to pray for some of that. For some of you, you've never spoken in tongues before, and I just want you to have that. So if that's something you want, you can have that today. I mean, I'm going to pray for that, for a release of that in your life today. And it's not like hocus pocus mystical things. It's the Spirit of God dwells in you, and it's just letting that Spirit come out. And some of you may have wanted to speak in tongues, and you may have wanted to have a personal prayer language. Today is a good day to do that. So we'll release that. So why don't you stand and we'll pray together. I am a good candidate to pray for rest because I know what it's like to be weary. You're a good candidate for rest because you know what it's like to be weary. I just want to lift off of you any guilt that's come, any condemnation that's come from being tired. You carry weight that you can't control, some of you. You have burdens that are not under your control. You just carry burdens, and sometimes the weight gets heavy. I want to lift that off of you today. I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you take the weight of those burdens off right now. The weight especially of being weary and not being able to fix that problem, not being able to control that weariness. Just lift the weight off right now, Lord. It's not, you haven't done anything wrong. You've just worked hard. You should be weary. But you don't have to carry the weight of that weariness anymore because the Lord's come to give you rest. There's some of you who have wanted a prayer language of your own. You wanted to be able to have conversations with God in a spiritual language that it talks about in Romans, and it just hasn't happened yet. I just pray for a loosening of your control in your life and your unwillingness to trust God with something that you don't understand. Let it come. Just let this prayer language come. Let it come right now. And those of you who do have a prayer language, just begin to speak softly in your prayer language. And we don't do this in church very much, but I just pray for a release now of the Spirit of God and that beautiful language that we have that originates in our spirit, the Spirit of God within us. Just let it come. Just let it flow out of you. Open up the gate a bit. Just open up the gate. Let's pray for release. There'd be a free flow of the Spirit that's in us coming out of us. Just rest for your soul. The Spirit of God that dwells within you knows exactly what you need. You can trust Him. And one more thing, I just want to pray that you give us the grace, Holy Spirit, to come to Jesus. Give us the boldness to come to Jesus and not wait for Him to come to us. give us the encouragement and the strength and the boldness to step towards Jesus and not just open our hands and wait for him to come to us, but to move towards him. In the days ahead, those who accomplish the works of God on earth are those who go to Jesus, not those who wait for Jesus to come to them. Why would we wait if we can go to him now? Why would we be satisfied with just waiting on the Lord when we can go and receive everything we need from him? Let's go together. Let's go together. Let's receive together. Let's show the world that there's someone that loves them so much that anytime they can come to him for everything they need. See, it's all wrapped up in trust. Trusting God. Lord, we want rest for our souls. And Jesus, you've told us how to get it. Give us the courage and the boldness to press on and go into the promised land, to press on and cross over, to press on in what lies ahead. There's exciting days ahead, and we're not afraid, Lord. We're not afraid to work hard. We're not afraid to struggle. We're not afraid to invest. We're not afraid to take risks. All those things involve coming to Jesus. So we want to go there, Lord. Open up a pathway for us. And let the testimonies in these next few weeks be remarkable about the path that's been opened to us to come to Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord. Amen. Dwayne, do you have one more song? I usually have lots. You can go if you want to, but I don't want to pass up this opportunity in this atmosphere. And sometimes music can push doors open. For those of you who want to come to Jesus today, you don't want to wait until you get home, or you don't want to wait till tomorrow morning for your quiet time. You know, just come up here and sit. I mean, even coming, yes, even God. Moving to the front, is a statement to God about you wanting to come to him. Just come.